Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Indiana. As we again awake from the many unprecedented liberty-stripping mandates and the tragic loss of life of dear loved ones from the COVID-19 that have taken place these last several months, let us realize that the Apostle Paul clearly reveals to us that the mystery of iniquity is at work in the earth, more so now in the 21st century than even when Paul penned those noble words 2,000 years ago in the second book of Thessalonians. The man of sin, or the son of perdition, otherwise known as the Antichrist, is on the threshold to make his presence known on the world stage. But God has his restrainer, who has prevented this blasphemer from making his appearance for 2,000 years. My new sermon series is about the restrainer himself, who is the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. The title of this series is The Messenger. The great 18th century evangelist George Whitefield, the father of the first Great Awakening, said the Holy Spirit was the least known, least loved, and least worshiped member of the Trinity. So, I will attempt to make him known to you these next several weeks. The primary work of the Holy Spirit is to transmit the resurrected Lord to mankind. He brought and still brings power and comfort to the Lord's church. He is also commonly known as a comforter. In this series, we will look at his person, who he is. I will discuss the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the temple of our body, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of sanctification, the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, including the fruit of the Spirit, plus much, much more. Each Sunday here on Freedom 95, a new segment of each of my sermons, about 26 minutes worth, are played with a short overlap of the previous week to refresh your memory about the prior week's message. The topic of the Holy Spirit is immense, and I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you to listen this morning. Remember, a significant moniker for Crown of Life Baptist Church on this radio station, our website, and Facebook page is "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." When he is not present, neither is liberty. Just look at the many countries in the world today where liberty does not exist. My friend, Paul earnestly pleads with us to heed the Lord's ominous warning to quench not the Spirit. The Messenger, Part 4.
Every one of you believers in Christ in this room, you're the believers are the temple. And indwells the Holy Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And so the oil speaks of that light, that Holy Spirit power in your life. And that's why Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount that we are to be a light, not hid under a bushel. We're to be on top of a mountain, shining our light. What good is a lighthouse that is below sea level, right? No ships can see it. What do? They put the lighthouse on the top of the highest mountain in the vicinity of the rocky area that they're trying to warn the ships of. I sailed when I was in... had a Hobie Cat, one of those catamaran boats for years in New Jersey in what they called Atlantic Highlands. Okay? It's called Atlantic Highlands. It is the highest point on the Atlantic coast from New Jersey down to Florida. It's the highest point. And guess what's up there? A lighthouse. A lighthouse, big lighthouse, two big lighthouses. Actually, it was two towers with lights warning ships of the sandy shoals off of New Jersey. They had it strategically positioned. So you want to place it high. So you were to be a lamp. Spikenard, or oil, is the perfume that fills all the house with its odor. Do you remember that story? When Mary Magdalene opened the box of spikenard and poured it on Jesus, and the disciples murmured and said, we could have sold that for money, and she was anointing Jesus before his funeral, before they understood that he was to die, he was to be crucified. The oil, it is the balm for all wounds, bruises, and broken hearts. The balm of Gilead. It was to heal that leprous soul. The oil was to heal. Remember, we are leprous. Before you're saved, you're a leper. In God's eyes, we are full of putrefying sores and open wounds and pus and bleeding. In God's eyes, we are sinners. That's what a sinner is like a leper. It is the unction for prophet, priest, and king, the Holy Spirit for service. That's talking like David was anointed with that oil. It is the reservoir stored in all besieged cities, which is the omnipotent grace of God in the exhausted and fatigued life of the child of God. the oil, the Holy Spirit. It's in a reservoir. The Holy Spirit, you may be fatigued. You may be tired. Things aren't going the way you like it. You're besieged by enemies, problems, difficulties, sickness, loss of job, wage issues, employment. And you're like a city that is besieged. But you have a reservoir within you of the Holy Spirit, that oil. And it's there to refresh you, to strengthen you, and to give you the strength to go through those trials. Jesus read these very words from the book that was presented to him in the synagogue of Nazareth. Basically, the book was the Old Testament. And he was reading from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And Jesus read that. He gave back the book to the governor of the synagogue and sat down, and all the people just stared at him. Because you know what? He was talking about himself. He is the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. What does that mean, opening the prison? You mean you let out all the criminals out of prison? You let out all the murderers and the rapists and the thieves and the extortionists? No. You're bound and imprisoned by Satan. We're imprisoned in the world system. We're imprisoned with sin. Sin has bound us up. We are imprisoned in that. And the prison that he's opening is redemption, forgiveness of sin. Proclaim liberty to the captives, giving us an understanding of the liberties we have in Christ. And not being bound by idols and false gods. And told you have to do this and you have to do that to appease the gods and satisfy their anger and their wrath and make them little cakes and bring them little clothing and put them on a little statue. And building shrines in your yard and having a shrine. That's the liberty to the captive. So that is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is what the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you, this is just that you have how many pages? You got 6 pages front and back. That's just a fourth of what I got for you. That's just a fourth of what I got for you on the Holy Spirit. And I'm learning more and more and more. I got several different Word documents, one where I'll be reading something and I just put it in. I have one file that I just put thoughts down. And then the file that comes from, and when as I'm piecing it together and expanding it, and I piece this little thought that I read here or there and put it in there, and it's just growing. It's huge. But the Holy Spirit isn't being taught. Most people are not being taught anything about the Holy Spirit in their churches, and the work of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit, and we've already discussed the necessity of how prayer and the Holy Spirit are engaged together, and the importance of prayer is because of the importance of the Holy Spirit. And how to get a hold of the power of the Holy Spirit is through prayer. And the Word of God, of course, too. But it's just amazing. Powerful, powerful, powerful. My friends, if there's anybody in this room who doesn't know Christ as their Savior, today is the hour of your salvation. You can get saved if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can accept Jesus Christ into your life. Because we're all sinners, and every one of us, the wages of sin is death, eternal damnation, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we need Christ as our Savior because there is no solution after you die. Once this body goes into the grave, is hell or eternal life? Amen. Forever and ever. And you got to make the decision which route you want to go. Do you want to embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you love Him? Do you want to have a personal relationship with Him? Because He's your Lord, He's your King, He's your Savior, He's your Redeemer, He's your Master. We're not taught those things. All of us, most of us in this room came out of public school. Okay? Or parochial school. Few in this room did come out of a Christian school, but we're not taught these things. I was shocked when I got saved at 30 years old. 30 years old, and I didn't know a penny of what was in the Bible. I remember I was amazed when I read the story of David and Goliath. That's in the Bible? Jesus walking on water? That's in the Bible? The Ten Commandments? That's in the Bible? I didn't know that. When I went to a church, they just put it on a piece of paper and told me to memorize it. And when that I had to memorize that Apostles' Creed. Oh my goodness, I almost didn't get confirmed because I couldn't memorize that stupid thing. I couldn't wait. But once I memorized that thing, I graduated church and never went back. That's what I thought. Mom and Dad, you know, this is what Mom and Dad wants me to do, so I'll do it. I'll just get confirmed, and then I can spend, after I got graduated, I could spend the whole weekend on the boat with Mom and Dad, you know. I didn't have to go back, because they never went back. They didn't even go back on holidays. So, it's fascinating. Fascinating, the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's fascinating, the work of the Holy Spirit, what He can do in your life. And what He's done in my life. We take pleasure, my wife and I, watching a mother hawk way up at the top of a cell phone tower. And you can see, as you get closer to the cell phone tower, you can see the nest, all the branches hanging over the top of the cell phone tower. And how she communicates with her babies as they fly out of the nest and they, you know, they'll be on one baby be on land on one side of the field and the mother's still up at the cell phone tower and they're communicating to one another. And it's a beautiful sight. If you've ever watched it, I've seen it before. I've seen it at IBT in the back of the woods there with the hawks training their young. And you know, it's just, you want to do that. When you have children, you want to do all you can for your children. And that's what the Lord wants to do for you. You're His child. He wants to do what He can for you. So He wants us to bring our petitions, our prayers, our supplications to Him. And He wants to help us. The Holy Spirit, the word Holy Spirit, we use in this 20th first century and the 20th century the word Holy Spirit more often, but in reality, the word Holy Ghost appears more often in the Bible than Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost doesn't appear at all in the Old Testament. It appears only in the New Testament. The Holy Ghost appears 183 times in 89 verses in the New Testament. That's 183 times. The Holy Spirit, believe it or not, only appears four times in the New Testament, three times in the Old Testament. We'll look at some of those in the Old Testament in Isaiah, but four times in the New Testament. But the word Spirit is used over 200 times, and then the emblems that are used, like the Comforter or other names, that the dove, as we talked about last time, over 200 different times the Spirit of God is spoken of in the New Testament. Again, the Greek word for ghost or spirit is pneuma. Pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. You find that in Strong's Concordance. And that's where we get the word pneumatic, air. Okay? Sometimes the Spirit of God is referred to as the breath of God. It's the air, pneumatic. When some of the men here who have done construction work or worked with tools, you have an air compressor and you have pneumatic tools. I've done a lot of roofing jobs with pneumatic nail guns, roofing guns, and had a compressor either on the ground or up on the roof, and you have a hose, a pneumatic hose going to the tool, and it makes nailing the tiles on a roof very quickly, and it's pneumatic. There's hydraulic. So what's the difference between pneumatic and hydraulic? One is dealing with a fluid, water or an oil, and the other is dealing with air or a gas. So pneumatic, that's so pneuma. It's the ghost. And I had a person several years back say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit is not called a ghost, you know. So it was their justification to use other versions of the Bible because, you know, the King James uses the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, what we think of a ghost today and all the spooky Casper the Ghost, remember Casper? And you know, all the ghosts and goblins and things that we see today is not what it meant 400 years ago. It just meant a spirit. It meant the Spirit of God. And there was no derogatory meaning by calling the Holy Spirit Holy Ghost. And the Bible uses that term numerous times. And so what's interesting is sometimes the translators translated the word Holy Spirit, and sometimes they translated it ghost. Usually Holy Ghost, always together Holy Ghost, though with the Spirit sometimes they leave off the word holy. But the word pneuma. We talked about George Whitefield and what he said, and he was the father, he's considered the father of the Great Awakening, the first Great Awakening. And he said the Holy Spirit was least known, least loved, least worshiped member of the Trinity. And I've talked to you about this before, the Holy Spirit, with the Pentecostal movement that occurred in the last 150 years, that has distorted the whole doctrine of the Holy Spirit. It has distorted it to the point, and I have a quote, I don't have it in my notes here, but let me explain the quote to you. It was a woman was talking about, she was a missionary to China, but she wrote an article in a Christian newspaper 100 years ago, okay, 100 years ago, talking, so this is before World War II, that there was a day and age, there was a day and age where Germany had a revival, okay? Preachers came, the church was booming, the evangelists from America, evangelists from England were coming to Germany. I spoke about, I believe I taught it at IBT, about Johann Unken. He was a German evangelist, a German church planner, pastor, who came from the Lutheran background, went to the Reform in England, came back to Germany, and then converted to be a Baptist, and waited a number of years, I forget how many years, until an American missionary came and baptized him in his church, and they became a Baptist, and it was just great revival. The German Baptists that are in America, which is Ellery's background, that's Ellery's background up in the northern part of Indiana, they're German Baptists all over, that overflowed from Germany into America. And he not only, Unken did not only plant churches in Germany, he went to Russia, he planted in other parts of Europe, non-English speaking parts of Europe. And so there was just great revivals that were taking place in Germany. And then the Pentecostals came in and they used the word the Spiritists in the article. And with all their shenanigans, they've perverted the doctrine, being slayed in the Spirit. It's get the second blessing. Get the Holy Spirit. You need to be blessed. And then if you have the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life is you're speaking in tongues. Okay, they were pushing that. And those of you who know, when they said you got slayed in the Spirit, you went around the room screaming, hallelujah, whoa! From one end, back and forth. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a TV show, or you had the Holy Laughter, remember the Holy Laughter? And so they made a mockery, a circus, out of the whole being filled with the Spirit.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.